I guess Happy New Year's. We're finishing off the year here, 2020. Welcome to the final 8:30 service of the year. Amen. I know it's been a little different year for a lot of people. It's been a different year for our family, and for a lot of people there's been turmoil or disappointments, but you know, it's been a time where we're able to hear God for ourselves. It's like God forced everything to be silent around us. And for some of us, he forced us to be silent for a time. And to just enjoy, even if you didn't want to enjoy it, he gave us the opportunity to enjoy the silence, to enjoy his presence. On Christmas morning, I was driving across the city, and one thing I've always enjoyed about Christmas is everything's closed. And the streets are empty, and you know, but this time it came with a little sadness because things have been closed for a while. And some places are closed that aren't going to open again. And things have happened this year that try to put an impact on our life. Things that try to put a scar or a mark and try to steal those little places of joy that we have in our life. So I would submit something to you this year. Obviously, there's a virus that has been loosed in our land and across the world, and it's real, and we have to deal with that. And there's certain health precautions we have to take, and there's things that we have to do, and we should do and have to navigate through that virus. But at the same time, the enemy has unleashed an attack against, in my opinion, against God. I would say against the body of Christ, but it's more than that. And so, through the power of media and other things, the enemy has tried to bring confusion, and actually has done a good job of bringing confusion, misinformation, misunderstandings, and try to keep the world in darkness. Even use the voices of many leaders, whether they be politicians or medical leaders or whoever they might be on the world's scene, to speak things over our land that are not from God. But you know, I remember the prophecy from Dave Roberson from years ago, the things that the Lord said about wealth and media. As I saw the power of media this year, I was encouraged. Because see, if the enemy thinks he can do something with media, wait until the Holy Ghost has a hold of it. Amen? Now, it might look, if you look back on 2020, we may look back and especially whether you're born again or not, I'll say it that way, it didn't really look like God was doing anything. The whole earth was silent. It's not true. There's a lot of things happening that don't get much attention. But the point is, if we just look with our natural mind and our natural eyes and with what we see on what the media portrays before us, whether it be on television or social media or wherever it might be, and I advise you to stay away from it as much as possible, to be honest with you. But we have those things bombarding us, and we would say, you could say, where was God? But thank God we have a prophetic church. We have a prophetic word from the Lord. And we knew about it before it ever happened. Amen? We knew to prepare before it ever happened. Not because we're better than anybody else. Not even because we're different from anyone else. Just because we listened. Just because we heard. Just because we were available. And God spoke to us as a family. And we were able to recognize that something was changing and something was happening on the earth. We didn't know what it was necessarily. I'm sure it didn't look like what you might have thought this year was going to look like. It didn't look like the way I thought it was going to look. I can promise you that. We had a lot of things planned, and we had things that we had hoped to do and accomplish that we're not able to. But you know, it didn't take God by surprise. He wasn't, and he isn't, wringing his hands and wondering, what am I going to do? How are we going to care for this problem that's in the earth? He's not saying it's too big. I never thought this could happen. You know, he's not in heaven wondering what the next move is. But I believe he's watching and waiting, looking for those who have listened, who have been quiet, who have heard, and who are willing to take up the mantle, to take up the assignment that he's giving out in the earth, and to be a part of the army that God is raising up. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, so let's just pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Father. Father, we know several are traveling this morning or tending to the needs of their family or whatever might be happening in their lives. And so we just thank you, Father, for your hand over our family, the Family Prayer Center. We thank you for your protection and your direction, your guidance on the leadership and on the people of this church, Father. Lord, we pray for Gary this morning as he's tending to his mother, and we thank you that Lil is healed, Father God. We thank you that she's completely restored. Father, we thank you for Alan and his family as they travel and wherever they may be. Father, just be with them. Refresh them, renew them, and Lord, be with us today. Without you, there's no reason to be here. So we thank you. We thank you for coming. We invite you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way in our midst today, Lord. And Father, we thank you for it. Thank you for all you're going to do, all you've already done. Thank you for preparing our hearts, our ears. Thank you, Father, for speaking your truth to us today. And may we receive it and act upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, there was a time in my life when I was ministering quite regularly. I was preaching every week or sometimes more than that. And there's been times, it seems God uses or God moves in my life, and I think in all of our lives, but I've recognized it more recently, the seasons of God. And sometimes if you're not in a season that you feel is the purpose or calling that God has in your life, if you're not in an active season of that, you can be discouraged. You can feel as though you're not doing anything for God. For me, my occupation, I don't know if you'll remember, but Pastor Dave used to talk about the occupation, vocation, and calling. And so we all have a calling to win the lost, for one thing, right? We all have a calling to be sharing the gospel and to be, we're called to the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people unto the Lord. And so we have that calling. And for me, my occupation has pretty much always been in telecommunications. And there have been times in my life when I've worked more hours at that than I have in something else. And there's been times in my life where I've been ministering more than I've been doing that. But it's always kind of been a part of whatever I was doing, because that seemed to be the way the Lord provided for our family. And I say all of that to say, these last several weeks, I've had an opportunity to minister some on Sunday nights and at the Calling in the Lost, and some of the things God has moved on me. I'm sorry, just bear with me this morning. I know the Lord is wanting to share some things, and it's hard sometimes for me to get my mouth to line up with what's going on in my spirit. So just bear with me a few minutes. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right. Sometimes I want to explain things that he's like, oh, you don't have to do all that. Whew, thank you, Jesus. All right, so here's what I want to say about those things, is that there's a gifting that flows with the calling that's on your life, or with the vocation that's in your life, you know, whether you be, it be part of the fivefold ministry, or maybe in helps, or governments, or prayer, or whatever that vocation in the kingdom might be, there are always gifts that qualify that calling. And when I was very young and just really coming into the Lord, just really giving my life to Jesus, even though I was born again as a young child, it wasn't, you know, we all go through our life and we come to a place where we have to make a decision if we're going to live our lives for ourselves or for the Lord or for whoever. And so I remember, just as I was making that decision, I'm going to live for the Lord, I was in my bedroom. I'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. I spoke in other tongues. But at that time in my life, that was about as much as I knew about the Holy Ghost, as you could speak with tongues. Much as I knew about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as far as manifestations of his ministry and of the gifts of the Spirit, was I could speak in tongues. I'd heard my brother tell me, my brother Doug, y'all know Doug, I heard him tell me that there were tongues and interpretation. And I say I heard him tell me because unfortunately at that time I didn't spend a lot of time reading the Bible. But there were people who told me about it, and I'd heard about it. And one night I kneeled down beside my bed and I was praying in other tongues. And I heard myself speak in English their interpretation of what I had prayed. And I had never before heard that from anyone else or experienced that in any other way. So I wasn't even sure if I'd done it right. Didn't know what had happened exactly. I remember calling my brother, telling him about it, and he explained to me that type of thing. So I say that to say, in my life, that type of gifting has always been a part of my ministry, tongues and interpretation. And if you'll remember, you know, Pastor Dave used to talk about, if you give a tongue in a public setting, he could interpret it. And he would typically interpret what he was saying if it was in a public setting. And I remember Brother Hagin would say, in the Old Testament, we saw an abundance of prophecy. And in the New Testament, we see an abundance of tongues. And he says that's because it's a part of our dispensation. So prophecy can come without tongues. Prophecy can be a gift of its own, but oftentimes it comes with tongues and interpretation. So something that happens over time, and I believe the way the enemy works, I'll put it that way, the devil will often come and he'll challenge the gifts of God in your life. And he'll challenge the calling of God. He'll challenge what God has said you are called to, what God has said you can do. And one of the ways he does that, because the gifts are what qualify us, is he challenges those gifts. And I can remember, I can't tell you how many times I've had people dispute or argue or try to discredit tongues in my life. I don't know if that's normal. I don't know if everybody's had that, but I know that many times, and I was, like I said, this had began when I was young, so I didn't really know very much, but I would have people come up with some crazy ideas. They tell me that tongues came from the Tower of Babel and that that's, you know, how languages were dispersed and it was a work of the enemy to try to keep people from talking to each other. And there's all kinds of crazy things I heard over and over again. And I'll remember one time I was with my friend and he had a guy that pulled up in a vehicle that he was talking to. And I don't do these kinds of things, and especially not then. I was pretty not very outgoing. I was a pretty quiet person. And some people may not agree with that, but I am kind of a quiet person at times. And I put my hand on his window that was down, and I just began to speak in tongues to this man. And then I gave an interpretation, and when I did, he started the car and he took off. And my friend said to me, he says, "What was that?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, something happened. When you began to speak," he says, "something happened. I felt something change around me. I don't understand it." And so I realized that God was doing something with that gift in my life. And so when I came to the prayer center, it was wonderful because I got to hear Dave talk about what tongues are really for. And I begin to understand not only the gift of tongues and interpretation, but that tongues for personal edification was something I could and should operate in anytime I needed to or wanted to. And this place and this ministry and this teaching really set me free. Because there's so much confusion, at least there was. I'm not as in touch with those people anymore that might stand against tongues. But at that time, in the 90s that I remember, there was so much confusion and so much opposition to tongues that it would be easy for me to be confused. And I can see why the body of Christ gets confused over those things. So I thank God for the teaching and the foundation that we have here, that we can begin to launch into the ministry with confidence, knowing the working of the Holy Spirit, what He has for us. So today, part of what I'm going to talk about is the power of the Holy Ghost. I know that this is a Pentecostal church. This is a Spirit-filled church. We know the Holy Ghost. We know that we have to have Him in our life. But I think that it's important for us to be reminded and to be continually recognize what He's doing in our life and to honor that and follow that wholeheartedly. Because you don't accidentally fall into revival. You don't accidentally slip into following the Holy Spirit. It's something that we've got to do on purpose, and it has to be a decision made from our own will and not something that we just do by accident. Let's look for a moment at Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So I want to stop there for just a moment. And I want to read from the Amplified Bible about this word, repent. verse 2, it says, in saying repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins, and changing your conduct. See, I believe that many times in the church we have certain words that we use over and over again and that we talk about and that we believe in, but yet we don't always really think about the meaning of those words. A lot of people say, you know, they did such and such, and they say, oh Lord, I repent of that. And that's a good thing. We should, if you do something that's against what the Bible tells us, or you know that you've violated your conscience, you say you want to repent of those things. But it's more than just saying, I was wrong. It's more than saying, I'm sorry. It's more than just saying, I repent. Because there can be habits in our life that we continually walk in, and every time we do, we say, oh Lord, I repent of that. But if you repent of that and do it again, then you didn't really repent the first time. Because according to this, it says that you think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins, and change your conduct. Now, I'm not preaching any type of condemnation. If there's something in our life, in your life, or in my life that we know is not of God, or that God is dealing with us to get rid of, He's going to walk with us through it as long as we hate it as much as He does, as long as we don't make an excuse for it in our life. But when we are truly repentant, it will no longer be something that we do. If we're still struggling with it, we may be in the process of repenting, but we have not repented because we're still struggling with that same issue. God forgives us. His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every morning. God, He loves us. He walks with us. He deals with us. He talks to us. There's no condemnation if we're truly walking away from it. But understand what John is talking about here. He's talking about a change. He's saying, listen, if you want what's coming, you're going to have to change the way you think. So let's continue on. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So, John the Baptist stood in a unique time. And one of the reasons I'm bringing this up this morning is not to teach you about John the Baptist, but to look at the time that we're standing in today. And I believe that we are standing in a unique time in history. We're standing in a time where we're preparing for something that the earth has never seen. John was standing in a time when he was preparing for something the earth had never seen. Now, if you'll allow me this morning, I know this is not exact, but I want to draw the correlation. I want you to see that what was happening as Jesus was coming upon the earth, I want you to see the comparison of that and what is happening now as Jesus is coming upon the earth. Okay, I understand he's already come. I realize the Holy Ghost has already been given to us. I realize that he's already done everything he's going to do. So don't misunderstand me today. I'm not expecting him to come and die on the cross for me again. I'm not expecting the Holy Ghost to be given again. But I am expecting a move of God that we haven't seen in thousands of years. And just like John the Baptist, there was a silence, there was a quietness of God for many, many years. There hadn't been a prophet in the land. And here comes a man. Probably the reason it's listed this way, he probably wasn't dressed like everyone else. Didn't look like everybody else. Didn't live in the fine houses, didn't have the great, wasn't, you know, drinking wine and eating from the fatted calf and all of that. But he was, his diet was locusts of wild honey. The Bible says that wine never passed his lips. It says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. I'm not going to try to explain that to you. I don't understand it. I don't really. That's not what's important today. What's important is to realize that there's a man who was bringing change, preparing the people for change upon the earth. And there were people that were going out to him from all areas around Jerusalem and Judea and all the areas around there coming out to see this man shouting in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. And they're confessing their sins to him. This man, this unusual person that has nothing special about him. He's out in the middle of the woods, in the wilderness. And people are coming out there not only listening to him, but they're confessing their sins before him. They're convicted in their heart, knowing this man is speaking the truth. No, the earth knew. The people of the earth knew something is coming. It says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John really wanted to get in with the ministers, didn't he? He was looking to build a name for himself and really expand his ministry. All of the great men of God of the day come out. Why'd they go out in the first place? Why were they really coming? It says they went out to be baptized of John, but they didn't go out to be baptized of John. They went out there to see what all the fuss was about. How come all of these people can be attracted to this unusual fellow that has nothing to do with what we're doing over here as Sadducees and Pharisees? And John was quick to recognize their motives of their heart. He was quick to see they hadn't come out to be baptized. As a matter of fact, he was letting them know exactly who they are and exactly what they need to be, that they do need to be baptized. But he said to them, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And again, the Amplified says this, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. And he says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say it to you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So again, John's discerning their heart and he's letting them know, look, just because I don't care what your lineage is, doesn't matter to me that your grandpa went to this church. You need to know Jesus. You need to have a repentant heart. You need to change your ways. And he said, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Then he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So you come to him with a clean heart, a repentant heart, he's going to baptize you. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I didn't grow up in a Pentecostal church. I didn't grow up with the move of the Spirit and the things of that nature. But I did grow up in a strong Christian home where they believed in Jesus. And we were brought up to believe in Jesus and to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. It may be interpreted a little differently in our house than what we do here. When I was young, I mean, than what I interpret it now. I'll say it that way. But this says that there's one coming who's going to baptize you. Now, I never heard the term be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm sure that the preacher probably read these things. My parents, I'm sure, read them. They read the Bible all the time. But I never heard it in my understanding. I never had the question, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Nobody really talked about it as a thing. But here John said, there's one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So I want to tell you today, there's a lot of people that have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people who've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but there's some of you tonight. There's some of us in here today that we need the fire of God in our life. We need His fire. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that, because I believe that there's a reason that He said they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Because there's something that we need in order to purify us, in order to purge us, in order to prepare us for what God is bringing into our life. It's that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was designed to happen the day that you're born again. The fire of God was designed to come the day that you were born again, to purge your heart, to prepare you for what God has for you, for the calling that's on your life, for the things that God wants to move in you, for what the Holy Ghost wants to do in you. There has to be a fire to purify the things that are not of God. So it says, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I know a lot of people have used this passage to preach hellfire and repentance and that we must come to the Lord. And I don't discredit any of that. We've got to do it. We need Jesus. And there is a hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain. But I want to submit to you today that if you're willing, and if we'll repent, if we'll change our hearts, and if we'll change our way of thinking and prepare, that God will not only baptize us with the Holy Ghost, but there will be a fire that will purge and destroy the things that have been in our life that have held us back for year after year, day after day, month after month, the things that you've not been able to overcome. I believe there is a fire. I'm telling you today, there is a fire available to destroy that with unquenchable fire, where it can be removed once and for all. Yes, John was talking about a change in the way things were done in the church or in the lives of believers at that time. So change, we're no longer going to be under the law. The Bible tells us that the law and the prophets were until John. After that, the kingdom of God is preached. And we realize that that's what was happening at the time. But I would tell you today, the same thing is happening, where God is laying an axe to the root of the trees in our life that are not producing fruit. And if we'll allow Him to, they'll be hewn down, they'll be taken away, and they'll be consumed with a fire, so that those things which have limited us, which have held us back, which have kept us from the fullness of our calling, which have kept us from really believing and grabbing a hold of the vision that God has given us, that we're in revival. If we'll allow Him to, He will not only forgive us of those things, but it will be burned up with an unquenchable fire. So many times we think we have to walk around and trip over the dead wood in our life. that we've got to step over the things that we know aren't right and just say, well, we have to navigate around that somehow. We have to navigate around those desires and those things that are holding us back. But God is saying today, if you want it gone, He will burn it up with an unquenchable fire. If you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you got more than just the power of God to fulfill a call, more than the power of God to be a witness, but you've got power to destroy the things of the enemy that are in your life. And the first thing He wants to do, and if He hasn't done it yet, He still wants to do it, is to destroy those things in our life so that we can reach to the people around us and help them get rid of those things in their life. You know, I know that we understand the scriptures in this church. We know what the Bible tells us about getting the mote out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to get the splinter out of your brother's eye. But more than that, He wants to absolutely, once and for all, purify us, set us free from the things that are in our life. I know people that have been addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol or have some other type of addiction in their life. And at the beginning of their freedom, many of them, if you talk to them, they just believe that for the rest of their life, this is just something I have to avoid. And this is a temptation I have to deal with. And it's okay if you're dealing with that temptation, but then you have not yet been purged and set free. Doesn't mean that you're less forgiven. Doesn't mean that you have a less of a deliverance. But it means that there's more available for you. And sometimes our addictions aren't as obvious. I often use those types of addictions because they're easy to see and we recognize them, all that. But many of us are addicted to other things. You might follow somebody around all day long and never see their addiction because it's something that's private. It's something that's within them. It's something that has to do with the way being accepted from other people, receiving their worthiness from something other than God. You know, one thing about this year, it's given us an opportunity to see what's important in our life. Because when you strip everything away, and it's just you. It should be just you and the Lord. And sometimes we get down to that and we find ourselves lonely. We say that we've known God all of our life, but for some people, their ministry unto God replaced their fellowship with Him. And when they're left with just that, they're lonely because they can't do the things that they once could do for the Lord. We're put into a place where we're forced into isolation. But you see, that's where God, I believe this year, He's been rescuing people. He's been visiting people. He's been encouraging people. And by His Spirit, He's been able to step into places where He was not able to before. Because so much around us had taken that away. And even in our lives as believers, and even in our lives here, we can get caught up in the world around us and get so busy doing whatever it might be. They're good things. There's things that have to happen. Like I said, in my life, I've always had some type of work that I'm doing in telecommunications. And over the last 4 or 5 years, I've spent a lot of time doing that. And it was a season in my life where it seemed like it would be easy for me to be discouraged or disappointed. Because I know the call that God has on my life. And I know He's called me to preach. And I know He's called me to Africa. And I know that He has things for me to do. And here I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma, working in telecommunications. And there's been times in my life when the Lord has had me to quit my job. And more than one time, He knows I'll do it. It's not an issue of obedience or willingness. But right now, for whatever the reason was, He's had me working a regular, what we call, I guess, a secular job. There'd be times when I said, God, is this, I mean, Is this really what you want me to do? And I think it's good to seek the Lord and at least on a regular basis, however often that might be, we should lay our lives down and say, Lord, you know what? If this isn't you, I don't want it. I can't tell you the number of times I've done that over the last several years. Lord, if this isn't you, then, you know, I'll walk away from it. But he continued to encourage me and walk with me. You know, I didn't have a lot of opportunities where I was preaching so much or ministering in that capacity. But what happened is over the last several years, I've built relationships with about five or six other men that they don't go to church. They don't have a pastor. So maybe one or two of them, but for the most part, they don't. They don't know God. For the most part, we're in America, it's hard to find anybody that's never heard the gospel. So they've heard the, as a matter of fact, to me, this was amazing because I never saw, maybe this is normal, but it seemed rather unusual to me. Three out of probably five or six men, three of them are atheists. And of those atheists, two of them were born again Christians. One of them filled with the Holy Ghost, spent 25 years in the church, planned to be a minister. And today is an atheist. So I'm saying all of that to say we don't know what God is doing in each season of our life. We don't understand always why we're having to go through something that there's a yearning on the inside of us that says, I've got to have more than just this. There's got to be more. There has to be something more you're doing, God. There's got to be something more for me. And if we're honest, there's times when we say, when is it going to happen? But you know, those are the cries that we need to bring before the Lord in our private time in the prayer closet when God can pour in the ointment and God can heal up the wounds and God can encourage and prepare us for what is coming. And we can be baptized with not only the Holy Ghost so that we have the power to do what he's called us to do, but with fire so that we're purified. And so that when that day comes and he says, now, there's nothing standing in the way between us and what he wants to accomplish. And I would tell you that we're standing at that threshold. We're standing at the threshold where if those cries are still within you, it's okay. But that means that there's time you need to spend with him. And you need to allow him to baptize you fresh. To baptize you with that fire once again. And to purify and purge the insecurities, the inabilities to produce results. Pastor Dave would teach us about our intercessor, the Holy Ghost. And he said, you know, when... Let's just turn to that for a quick moment. Romans chapter 8. Because you know, along with everything else, I feel... whew, sometimes our emotions get in the way, or we have a difficult time distinguishing between our natural emotions and what's going on in the realm of the spirit. And I'll tell you that lately I started feeling depressed. And of course, all the things going on in the world, it's your natural mind say, well, no wonder. No wonder. For me, I haven't been to work in over two months, and that's a whole nother story. So I'm at home. My children haven't been to school all year long. They're at home. My wife is working from home, and it's a wonderful thing to be home with your family. But when there's nothing else happening, it can become a depressive state. So that's what I was thinking was happening, and I thought I shouldn't be depressed, but I wasn't depressed. I am happy to be with my family. Not that every minute, but I am excited that we've had this opportunity. So I was praying and I'm asking the Lord, what's going on? You know, at first I'm trying to take authority over that because we're to take every thought captive. And I'm saying, no, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So no, you don't have the right to be depressed. But then I realized that I wasn't depressed, but I was hurting. My spirit was yearning, was desiring to see a move of God. And to see God touch the lives of people around me. And I realized I'm not depressed. But see, there are emotions in your spirit. And there's times when we might stand in between, I say it this way, I don't know if it makes sense or not, but in between the natural and the spirit realm. And it's sometimes difficult to function and to be able to navigate and determine that. But it's important that we recognize when the Holy Spirit is moving, when the Holy Spirit is doing something in our life, because there's times He wants to intercede on our behalf. And if we don't recognize it, we could dismiss it as something else. It would be easy for me to just say, well, you know, I'm depressed. I rebuke that, whatever. But you know, sometimes the Holy Ghost, he comes with a peace. And sometimes he comes with a troubling. Sometimes he troubles our spirit and we would think there's something not quite right here. And sometimes he wants to do things. And as we grow with Him, I believe we become closer to what His thoughts are, closer to what His emotions are, and we need to recognize when He is hurting. The Bible says the spirit can be grieved. I mean, it may not be depression, but it is a sadness. It is a longing for something else. And here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I'm not going to teach it the way Pastor Dave teaches it, but I'm just going to share with you what it says here. It says, likewise, the Spirit also. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And that is our inability to produce results based on the limitations of our own flesh. The Holy Spirit is there. Likewise, He helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes God is calling us away. We know that He's calling us away because He's told us that many, many times, especially throughout this year. He's calling us unto Himself. He's bringing us into an intimate place with Him. And when we're in a place of intimacy, sometimes intimacy is uncomfortable. I've been married to my wife for 24 years. Had to think about it for a moment, but I think I got it right. 24 years. And, you know, there's been great times of intimacy. And there's been hurtful times of intimacy. And what I mean by that is one or both of us facing something very challenging, difficult, that we can't hardly even imagine what happened in your life. Every one of us has had those times. But the intimacy was just as important and just as real in those times as in times of joy and in times of excitement. And with God, when we're close to that breakthrough, when we're close to that change, just as John the Baptist was standing in a time when there was a change of covenant. Obviously, we don't have a change of covenant. We're in the New Testament. We have received the fullness of the Spirit. But we're standing at a threshold. And I believe that 2020 will be a marking place that we can look back to and say that things changed after this time. and that we stand at a threshold where we're entering into something that the earth has not seen in thousands of years, something that we that no one alive would recognize and know as God. And there's going to be people who are believers that know Jesus, that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that will not recognize what the Spirit of God is doing because they've lacked intimacy. And that breaks the Father's heart. And I think that that is why at times intimacy with God is not just being Him being there for us, but it's us being there for Him. Because we are the ones that God is using in the earth. And God has told us over and over again, He needs us. So I realize God is an almighty, all-knowing. He's to be feared and revered, and we love Him compassionately. But at the same time, He's a God whose heart is broken over His people. He's a God who's hurting and grieving over the sins of the world. And He needs a people who will stand in a place of intimacy and allow Him to intercede and allow Him to pray over His people and to invite and bring in this new era of revival, of harvest, of power with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to burn in us the fire of God. Remove the chaff. Remove the things that are not of Him, so that we can stand in intimacy with Him and pray His prayers and experience His heart, so that He can bring what He's bringing to us in the years to come, in the seasons to come, in the times to come. And I believe that we're entering in, even this year, as we enter into the new year of 2021, I don't believe that God flips the calendar over and says, well, you know, now I can do something because it's January 1st. You know, I've been waiting all this time. But He also understands that we live in a place of time, and that we as human beings do flip the calendar over. We do look into the future. We do look into the seasons. And I believe that God will move in those ways just because He loves us so much and wants and helps us to understand who He is and how He does things. So as we enter in to 2021, I would encourage you, let the fire of God, the Holy Ghost, baptize you fresh and new with His power and with His fire, that we can be purified and we can walk in the fullness that God has for us. Amen? All right. With that, I'm going to dismiss. We have service at 10 o'clock. So, Father, we just thank You so much for Your word today. We thank You for the seasons and the times that we live in. And we thank You for the seasons of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank You for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire. So Lord, today we're looking unto You. And I'm asking You, Father, that You baptize us fresh this morning. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Baptize us with fire. Purify our hearts, prepare us for what is to come. Lord, even as we look to the next service, prepare our hearts that we can receive from You, that we can walk in the fullness of what You have for us as we enter into a new year, and as we go about our daily tasks, Lord, help us to be mindful of the Spirit within. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.